Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about vision today. Vision. I've got to tell you, it was so hard to not include a 2020 vision pun. Some joke about how hindsight really is 2020. But I'll refrain. You're welcome for that. The title of the message instead is Come and See. Come and See. And we're going to look at those verses from John chapter 1 that we just read, John 1, 43 through 51, if you have your Bibles with you or if you want to turn in your bulletins. We're going to divide this into three sections today as we go through this text. And we're going to look at what Philip sees, what Jesus sees, and then what we can see. Three sections. So let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Keep us steadfast in your word, we ask. Bless us. Give us wisdom as we dive into your word and into your truth today. Help us to see you, Jesus, and learn more about your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. This is the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry here in John 1. He is calling his disciples, his apostles, those 12 men who would assist him in sharing the gospel in all the world. And here he calls Philip. He says to Philip, come and follow me. What did Philip see? First point. Well, Philip saw a promise being kept. He saw the fulfillment of a prophecy. He saw the person he had been waiting for. From the very first pages of Scripture, God has given his people promises. When Adam and Eve were exiled from the Garden of Eden back in Genesis, God promised that someone someday would crush the head of the serpent. Remember that? Or remember when God promised to Abraham that one of his descendants would bless all the nations of the world? Or when God promised King David that one of his descendants would sit on the throne forever? Remember that? Philip remembered. He knew all about these promises, and he was like every other Jew, anxiously waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah, but most of them expected their Messiah to be a political Messiah. They were caught in a seemingly endless cycle of captivity and oppression, and they were desperately waiting for someone to come and break them free, to reestablish Israel as a free and righteous nation, not a nation enslaved by another, not a nation of backwater fishermen and humble craftsmen, but a nation known worldwide for its wealth and its power. The Jews were waiting for a political Messiah, but Philip saw something different in Jesus. He didn't see a political savior. He saw a personal savior. Jesus was a blue-collar, homeless carpenter. He wasn't about to lead any worldwide revolution. But that didn't matter to Philip, because God's promises weren't about politics. They weren't about earthly freedom. They were about eternal freedom. Philip saw in Jesus an answer to prayer. And what is the first thing Philip does? He finds his friend Nathanael. You know that feeling you get when you watch a great movie or you find a new TV show and you just have to tell someone about it, right? My poor wife, she always gets bombarded with my recommendations, and I just wanted to watch things with her to have her enjoy what I enjoy. You've got to tell someone about it. Or if you find a good deal, a good sale, you've got to tell someone about it so they can enjoy it as well, so they can take advantage of it as well. Philip is overjoyed that he has found the Messiah, and he's got to tell someone about it. He tells Nathanael, "We have found Jesus." And Nathanael responds with skepticism, doesn't he? Look at verse 46. He says, "Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" He knows all about Nazareth. He knows that it's just a small town up north. There's nothing fancy. Certainly not a place where a king would come from. And Nathanael couldn't think of any prophecy about the promised Messiah coming from Nazareth. But here's what's important. Philip's response. Did you notice that? Philip doesn't argue with Nathanael. He doesn't sit Nathanael down and try to explain or argue or reason with him to tell him how this could be. Try to negotiate or bargain with him in order to get him to believe in this Jesus fellow. Philip just says, come and see for yourself. There is no other way to do evangelism. We can't argue someone into faith in Christ. We can't convince them to become a Christian. Christianity isn't just intellectual. All we are to do, all we can do, is show them to Jesus and let Him and the Holy Spirit do the rest. Faith comes from hearing, the Bible says, and hearing the good news about Christ. Nobody can come to me, Jesus says, unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. Philip saw Jesus and then he told Nathanael, come and see for yourself, because this Jesus fellow is worth seeing, isn't he? And faith comes from Jesus. Then in verse 47, we learn what Jesus sees. And this is fascinating. Listen to this again. Nathanael is walking toward Jesus, and while he's still approaching, Jesus calls out to him. And what did he say? He says, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Nathanael would be pretty shocked by this, wouldn't he? He's never met Jesus. So he asked, probably suspiciously, how do you know about me? And then verse 48, look at what Jesus said. He said, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. That's crazy, isn't it? Jesus saw Nathanael before Nathanael even saw Jesus. And Jesus knew Nathanael before Nathanael even knew about Jesus. And what did Jesus see in Nathanael? A genuine son of Israel. Another translation says, an Israelite indeed. Jesus isn't talking about ethnicity here. He is not talking about Nathanael's Jewish heritage. The Bible says that real children of Abraham, real Israelites, are those who put their faith in God. Jesus here is another way of saying that Nathanael is a true believer, that he has true faith, that he's a true child of God. But now this is interesting. Because Jesus says this about Nathanael before he reveals his omniscience, but before the sign he gave Nathanael about how he knew what he was doing. Look at the order of events here, because this is important. Verse 45, Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus. Okay. 46, Nathanael is skeptical. 47, Jesus identifies Nathanael's faith. 48, Jesus shows his divinity. 49, Nathanael confesses his faith. But apparently, Nathanael had faith before his confession in verse 49. You follow that? Even before he said, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel, Nathanael was a believer. This is because a verbal confession doesn't create faith. Being seen by Jesus creates faith. Does that make sense? You don't create your faith. Jesus does. You aren't responsible for strengthening your faith. God is. It's not your job to maintain and preserve and grow your faith. God does that. God's word does that. Isn't that encouraging, though? That means that when we go through times of trial, when it's really hard to believe in God, or when it's really hard to know that he knows best, that he knows what he's doing, there's a lot of that going around, isn't there? We can know that our faith is created and grown by God. What a relief. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? He sees all of your faults, all your failings, all your sin, all of your secret shame, he sees it all. But do you know what he sees before that? Instead of that? A baptized child of God. A genuine son or daughter of Israel. And not because you did anything special, but because God did something special for you, in you. Praise God for that. Finally, look at the last few verses of this passage here. Nathanael is amazed and confesses Jesus as the Son of God and the King of Israel. But then listen to what Jesus says in verse 50. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." This is our final point today, what we can see. We looked at what Philip saw. He saw a promise being kept. He saw a prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus. What Jesus saw then, he looked at Nathanael and he saw a true Israelite. He saw faith in Nathanael's heart. And now here in John 1, Jesus speaks to everyone, telling us what we can see when we look to Jesus. Do you remember the story about Jacob's ladder in Genesis? In Genesis 28, Jacob has a dream about a ladder that's set up here on earth and goes up to heaven. And Jacob sees angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder. And while Jacob is marveling at this sight, God speaks to Jacob and he says, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And in you and in your descendant," singular, "descendant, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Jesus here in John 1 is saying, remember that story about Jacob's ladder? That's what you can see when your eyes are turned to me. I'm that descendant who will bless all the families of the earth. I am the ladder. I am the connection, the bridge between heaven and earth. But what's interesting about this ladder is that this isn't a ladder for us to climb. This ladder to heaven isn't something that we have to climb up in order to be saved, in order to reach heaven and receive eternal life. This ladder, this true Jacob's ladder, is Jesus, who came down. Jesus came down in order to bring us back up with him. He's done the work. He's the stairway. Salvation isn't achieved by doing certain things or avoiding certain other things. Salvation isn't found by cleansing your heart and soul from sin or impurity. Salvation is not a ladder you climb. Salvation is in Christ. Nathanael was amazed that Jesus had seen him while he was under the fig tree, but that was nothing compared to what Nathanael would see, and all the other disciples and us today when we look at Christ. Jesus said, "You will see greater things than this," an open heaven, access to God, and access to the free and full forgiveness of all of our sins brought to us by Jesus, who came down from heaven to stand in our place before the judgment throne of God, to receive on his shoulders the entire sentence of all of our guilty verdicts and endure the full weight of God's fierce and holy anger against sin. He endured it for us. Come and see. Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. He's the one who creates and sustains our faith, and he's the one whom we praise. Amen.